Janet's going to come and read for us, I think, and we're going to be looking at Ephesians 4, verses 7 to 16, page 1175 in your pew Bibles.
But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, do sit down and shall we... Well, just before we pray, let me just say that you all received a Christmas fair flyer today. Do take that home, hand it on to somebody else, and if you can bake a cake for the cake stall... Now, I know some of you are great bakers. If you can bake a cake for the cake stall, then do let me know and we can get it to the fair. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you that you do speak to us clearly through it. And as we think about it today, please would you speak deeply into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you've been with us for the last few weeks, you'll know that we've departed from our usual diet of preaching through a book of the Bible or a section of the Bible, a section of a book from the beginning through it, part by part to the end. We'll be getting back to that again after Christmas. But these last few weeks, we've been in a series called Better Together, Better Together. Because we've been able to be together again after what's been a really tough couple of years of being church, hasn't it? It's been hard. Because we've been able to be together, we've got this series Better Together, and this is our final section of it. There have been three sections. The first section, we started thinking about our identity in Christ. Who are we in Christ if we're those trusting in Jesus? Then we thought about our character. What are we called to be like if we're those people who are following Jesus? And then these last few weeks of the series, we're thinking about service, our service. What are we called to do as those who are in Christ? What are we commissioned by him to do? And today is our penultimate sermon in this series. And the aspect of service we're thinking about today is this, speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. How can we best serve one another as followers of Jesus Christ? Of course, Jesus hasn't left us unequipped to serve one another, and we'll be thinking about that too. So first of all, we're going to praise God for the gifts that he has given us. Then we're going to work out what it is those gifts have equipped us to do. And finally, we'll see the wonderful results God has in store for us if we use the gifts he's given us well. So first of all, what are the gifts God has given to us? If you've closed your Bibles, open up again, page 1175 to Ephesians chapter 4, page 1175. And look down with me at verse 7. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Now, that word grace is the same word as the word for gift. So we could say that to each one of us, Christ, in his big, massive grace, has given us gifts. Don't know about you, but I love to know about the presents I've been given, the gifts I've been given. Have you ever received a gift and you think it's lovely, but you've got no idea what it's for? Not a clue. My sister-in-law is from mainland China, and when she was new to the UK, she brought loads of lovely Chinese things with her. I remember this lovely piece of fabric, really nice. We had no idea whether it was ornate tablecloth or a scarf. We still don't actually know and dare ask her. We like to know what gifts are for, and we'll be thinking a little bit later on, what are these gifts for? But that we have gifts being given to us, and they come from Jesus. Look with me at verse 8. This is why the Bible says, when he, Jesus, ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Jesus taking captives sounds a little bit weird, doesn't it? A little bit odd. But those captives are us who follow him. We are captive to Jesus. The picture is of a victorious king who's won a battle and has won people for himself, got them from the enemy kingdom and brought them into his good kingdom in his train of captives. Not to do anything nasty to them whatsoever, but to give them the best life they could possibly have for all eternity. So we're people who are won when he beats Satan at his death and his resurrection. So verse 9, what does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? Jesus ascended to heaven after he'd come to earth. He came from heaven down to earth, didn't he? And then he went back to heaven. So verse 10, he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. At his ascension, Jesus was shown to be God's cosmic king who rules everywhere in complete authority and power and goodness. So we know these gifts he's going to give us are really good gifts, don't we? They're good for us. They're great things for us to have. And we're his people. We're won, rescued, loved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and given gifts by him. But what about these gifts he's given us? Well, the victorious king has given us a rather surprising range of gifts. These aren't the gifts of the Spirit that we read about in places like 1 Corinthians 12 and elsewhere in the New Testament. Instead, these gifts are people. They're people. Now, as we read again who they are, I wonder if you can work out what it is they have in common. Look with me at verse 10. What do they have in common? So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor teachers. By the way, pastors and teachers there, it's in the original Greek, that's a single word and literally means pastor teachers. It's one person. It's not two sets of people. That's one type of person. They're one gift. What do they all have in common? Well, it's the connection between their jobs they have in the church. The apostles and the prophets were those people who wrote the Bible as they were, by the Holy Spirit, given the right words, the very words of God, to write down. The evangelists are the people who take the words of the Bible to new places and to new people. And the pastor teachers are those who teach and apply the truth of God's word in local churches. The link's quite clear, isn't it? These are wordy people gifts, who God has given to the whole church so that through his word, we can know God and have eternal life through him in Jesus Christ. So what are these, who are these gifts that God has given to us here? Well, we have the writers of the Bible. We've got the Bible here, haven't we? So we, in St. Andrew's and down the road in St. Luke's and the whole church worldwide, we have been given the gift of the apostles and the prophets in our hands. Thank you, Lord. the people who brought the gospel to England for the very first time are the evangelists that God has given to us here, or wherever it is that you heard the gospel for the first time. What was it in Pakistan, India, Russia, Canada, New Zealand, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, wherever it was, wherever in the world it was, an evangelist, a gift from God, brought you his word. The person who explained the gospel to you first is a gift to you from God. Who was it who explained the gospel to you first? Just think about who that was and thank God for that gift of that person. And the people who teach God's word here at St. Luke's and St. Andrew's, that's Ash, me, Richard, Brian, Francis, but also your growth group leaders, children's and youth leaders, and anybody who leads a group and explains God's word is a gift to God, from God to the church. Praise God for them. Please do keep us in your prayers, because God has given to the church those who teach God's word, and we've been given a big responsibility, haven't we? So please do pray. We need your prayers. God has given wordy people gifts to his church. So our second thought then, what is it that those who teach, those wordy people gifts, what have they been charged precisely to do? Well, look with me at verse 12, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. To equip God's people for works of service. Do you spot there who's being equipped? It's God's people. All God's people. Everyone who follows Jesus. If you're 3 years old, if you're 8 years old, 18, 28, 48, 68, or 98, you are being prepared for works of service. We'll think about what they are in a moment. But you're being equipped by God for a job. Isn't that exciting? You're not just here as somebody who's a passenger. You're not just here watching something happen at the front and listening to some interesting stuff. You are being equipped by God as you hear God's word being read and taught. That's exciting. As we're taught from God's word, we are being equipped. Equipped for works of service. Now, that word for service is the same word as the word for ministry. So these works we should be prepared for, are specifically works of service that are ministry-focused works of service. Now, hopefully we're all being kind to each other and we're giving one another a helping hand and we're checking out that each other's all right and being nice to each other all the time. That's, praise God for that. Don't give it up. Let's do it more and more. That's great. But that's not quite what Paul's talking about here. The Apostle Paul is talking about specific works of service, ministry-focused works of service. These are works of service that have a particular effect on the church. Look with me halfway through verse 12. Prepared for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We're being equipped to contribute to God's building project. We're being equipped to contribute towards one another growing in our faith, knowing Jesus better, and becoming more mature Christians. That's what we're being equipped for. So what we're being equipped to do is the Bible is taught Sunday by Sunday and in our various midweek groups. So Sundays aren't supposed to be a lecture. I'm sorry if they ever feel like a lecture. Do complain if they do. We don't want Sunday to feel like cardboard cutout sermon from the front. That's not what we're about. We're about equipping one another for works of service. This is a dynamic thing, isn't it? Growth groups aren't supposed to be a place where we just find out interesting facts. Hopefully we do find out some interesting facts, but at the same time, it's much more than that, isn't it? We're being equipped for works of service. We do need to know things about God, don't we, if we're going to know him better? We need to understand the Bible better and better and better and better if we're going to know God better and be useful in these works of service. But it's all for the purpose of growing in our knowledge and love for Jesus as we learn that he saved us because he loves us, that he saved us from God's judgment of our sin, that he saved us for an eternity with him. And that while we're here in this life, we're to be ever more helping one another through these works of ministry that grow one another as Christians in our love for Jesus and in our unity together. But how do we do that? It's all right talking about works of service, works of ministry, but what does that look like on the ground? What does that look like in my life, in your life? Well, we're taught the truth from God's word. And then look with me down at verse 15. Verse 15 in our passage. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. What is the truth? Well, it could be just not lying, couldn't it? Or being like brutally honest with each other in a very loving way. But it's not that. Obviously, we need to speak the truth all the time. We're not to lie. But what is being talked about here is very, very specific. Flick back with me. Keep your finger in Ephesians 4. Flick back with me to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 13. Paul writes, "You were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation." The truth there, what is it? It's the truth of the gospel, isn't it? It's the message of the gospel. And then back over the page, chapter 4, verse 20. That, however, is not the way that you learned when you heard about Christ. You were taught in him in accordance with what? With the truth that is in Jesus. So we're taught the gospel of the truth of Jesus. And then chapter 6, verse 14, a very, very famous passage here, the armor of God passage. Chapter 6, verse 14, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." Now, all of the different parts of the armor of God are focused on the gospel, the truth of the gospel. So here it's the truth of the gospel that's buckled around our waist. So overwhelmingly, when Paul talks about the truth in Ephesians, he's talking about the truth of the gospel, the message of our salvation, the good news of Jesus Christ. So what then does it mean to speak the truth in love to one another? Well, it means speaking the truth of the gospel to one another, doesn't it? But it doesn't mean that every word we say is a quote from the Bible. We probably have all come across people who, they almost have conversations in film quotes with each other or song word quotes with each other. We're not supposed to be just speaking the words of the Bible to each other, because if we do that, we can't offer somebody a cup of tea, can we? It would have to be milk and honey or something like that. We don't always have to be quoting the Bible verses to each other, but sometimes we might do. Sometimes it might be the appropriate thing to remind somebody of a truth directly from the words of the Bible. That's a good thing to do. But I think it means this. I think it means having words about the goodness of God not very far from our lips all the time. That's what I think it means. So, if you've been encouraged in your faith somehow this week, tell someone. Tell someone at church. Because if you've been encouraged, guess what? They will be encouraged too. And that's a good thing, isn't it? What's God been teaching you recently? Well, share it with someone. Because you can help them learn the same thing that you've learned too. What if your Christian friend is struggling with something in their life? Well, remind them of God's grace and his kindness and help them to live according to it again, and to remember it if they're struggling with remembering it. Speak the truth in love to one another. So God has given us wordy people gifts to the church. These people are charged with equipping God's people for the works of service, for the work of speaking the truth of the gospel, the love of God to one another. So what's the result when all of this works well? What's the result? When preachers and leaders are faithfully teaching God's word, equipping the church for speaking the truth in love to one another, and everyone gets on with that, what is the result? Well, this model of teaching, equipping, and speaking is supposed to help, supposed to keep going on until we reach the full maturity in Christ. But when's that going to happen? When are we going to be fully mature in Christ? Well, it's when we see him face to face, isn't it? Whether that's when he returns or whether we go to be with him first. So I take it that this model of teaching, equipping, and speaking the truth in love to one another, it's what's supposed to happen until the day we see Jesus Christ face to face. Because, verse 14, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. You see, speaking the truth in love, having been equipped from the scriptures, is the normal way of being church. This is God's way of being church. And that image from verse 14 is from the sea, isn't it? A church where there's faithful teaching, where there's careful equipping, and where there's lots of speaking the truth in love, won't be thrown around like a little boat on stormy waters. We'll all have seen paintings or films of boats on a stormy sea. They're in danger of being thrown off course, aren't they? They're in danger of capsizing and taking the crew down with them. A church that's not being faithfully taught, where God's people aren't being equipped for the work of speaking the truth in love, or where the people aren't speaking the truth in love together despite having been equipped, a church like that is likely to be blown off course, isn't it? We need all hands on deck. It's likely to lose track of the truth. It'll perhaps capsize and even close down. That's because the people will believe anything that they hear. Where the teaching the teaching isn't biblical in churches, we're in danger of following whatever the latest trendy new belief is. Sounds good, we'll believe it. We see it around us, don't we? There's a church very close to here which did fall prey to every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. It shrank, and now it's closed down, and the building is up for sale. Do please pray, and pray hard, that God would still have good purposes for that building. I think we all probably know where it is. But the good news is that when we're taught faithfully, when we're equipped well, and when we speak the truth in love to one another, then we won't be tossed around like that, will we? Instead, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. When the truth of the gospel flows from God through the preachers and leaders, and the church is equipped for these works of ministry, for speaking the truth in love, then we're safe. We grow in our faith. We stay firm in Christ, who is our head. We grow in love for one another. We stay united and grow in that unity as we share the gospel, because we're all doing what we're designed to do, aren't we? We're called, we're commissioned by God to be equipped and then to speak the truth in love. We'll be doing what Jesus would have us do. Speaking the truth in love with one another is our service of first importance in the church. It's wonderful that so many people serve in so many ways. Please keep it up. But if you'd like to be serving God in any way at all, make sure the very first way that you're serving makes the priority of your service speaking the truth in love. To encourage other members of the church in their faith. That is the best way, the only way, God's way, that our church here will grow in depth, in unity, in love, and in number. This is his plan. This is his way of doing things. So please pray for all of us who preach and teach. Pray that we'll be faithful to the scriptures. Pray that we'll be equipping everyone, the whole church, for the work of ministry, which is speaking the truth in love. And keep on reminding everyone here about how good God is. The more of it we do, the easier it'll get. It's infectious, isn't it, when we hear of how good God is. It's infectious. We want to pass it on. And it'll be brilliant, won't it, when we're all doing this. So let's, if we're doing it already, do it more and more. And if you've not started doing it yet, pray that God would give you the ability to speak the truth in love, however little it is, whatever little bit of encouragement you can pass on to someone else, because it will be brilliant when we're all doing that. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, we praise you for your plans, the way that you have designed church to work. And we pray that those of us who teach and lead would do so faithfully, that we would equip everyone, each other and everyone else, for the work of ministry of speaking the truth in love. And we pray that as we speak the truth in love to one another, you would grow us up in our maturity, in our unity, in our service of you, and also in our number. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.